All right, guys, let's get this started. Perek Dalet. I'm gonna read a few sentences out of this book. I wouldn't call it a sefer. There are definitely parts of the book which are sefer like, and some beautiful, beautiful insights. It happens to be that I'm not the biggest fan of this one. This is the Maggid series, the blue and white Maggid series on Tanakh. So I find a lot of them to be very excellent. I happen to, although she is really awesome in general, her name is Erica Brown. She's a professor. I think she's a professor at YU, and she's super. I don't know, or of sex leadership program, whatever it is. So she wrote this book, unbelievable insights, and we're going to see one of the insights today. I think it drowns me out a little bit from all of the a lot of the academic stuff in the beginning, like kind of puts you to sleep. Although if you're into that, she doesn't really relate to that question. Okay, she doesn't really relate to that question, but we are going to see an insight from her, one or two insights from her today, which are mamish amazing. So let's get started. Okay, we saw Umordechai haratzim yatzu tchufim bedvar amelech vadas nisna b'shushana birav amelech v'aman yeshvu lishtos v'ir shushana vocha. We pointed out how the Malbim believes that there are two sets of letters. The first letters were, everyone, tikon, right? You should get ready, titkonenu. There's going to be war on so-and-so day. But we don't know who the subject of that war is. We don't know who the adversary, we don't know who the war is against. And the Malbim says that the second letter of this Padshegen Aksav was the second letter that was stamped with the signet ring of the king. And that was where the Jews found out. And we essentially, the Malbim, I think, is motivated by the question as to, this doesn't make any sense to send out a letter 11 months ahead, which is going to give the Jews all this time to rebel, or anyone is going to give this time to rebel. Okay, so let's take a look. Yeah. So let's see. Pasukov, Mordechai yada es kol asher naasa. Vayikra Mordechai es begadav vayilbash sak ve'efer vayitze betoch ha'ir vayizag zaka gdola umara. So Mordechai knows. How does he know? Obviously, once again, amongst the Mefarshim, different approaches. Either he has a nevuah or bepashtos. What happens is he opens the letter. I'm sure there were other people that opened the letter as well, or he had the political insight, or there was some sort of leak. He was there, right? So he finds out. So what is his immediate reaction? His immediate reaction is what Jews do when they're in avelos. He rips his clothing. And we're going to see how clothing throughout all of Megillas Esther is really something which is significant. Okay, and we're gonna speak about that in a second, but he rips his clothing as an act of tshuva and tefillah. Vayilbash sak ve'efer, vayitzei betol chayir, vayizak zaka gdola umara. He goes out, and what does he do? He starts a protest. Okay, kipshuto. He goes outside the shara ir, right, and because he knows ve'avo ad lifnei shar hamelech. He knows that he's not allowed to go inside the palace with dress like this, in sak ve'efer. But what does he do? He sets up a tent and he starts screaming, Chevra, we need to find out you have to understand what's going on here. He's screaming. What is he screaming? He's screaming, Jewish people wake up. Not only Jewish people wake up, why is he by the Shar HaMelech? He's by the Shar HaMelech because he's convinced, in somehow either in his prophetic ability, or he's convinced that not everyone knows what's going on. It's possible that the king doesn't even know what's going on. So what does he want to do? He wants to make a big fuss about it, right? Haman is obviously has his ways of hiding things, of covering things up, but he's not gonna allow that to happen, right? Yeah.
Why does he tear his clothing and put on
sock wafer? That's
no. Why? It's just the decree. Nothing happened yet.
Well, he realizes that we're pretty much outnumbered, you know, like the Jews versus everyone else in the 127 countries. So it's pretty much a death sentence, you know.
Didn't we say it was months before
that? Yeah, but it's still a death sentence. You know, you wouldn't be upset if you heard that you were going to be killed in 11 months.
Wouldn't it be more like to protest right away instead of doing this?
Yeah, so he is, meaning it's biyachad, meaning that's what I think we see by Yaakov Avinu when it says that Yaakov was approaching Esav. What did he do? He did three things, right? He had a tefillah, he had a doron, and he had, right? What's the third thing? Right? And he prepared himself. He prepared himself for war. So that's what Mordechai does here. He has a tefillah. He's tearing his clothing. He's showing his mourning, but he's also preparing himself. He's preparing himself by letting everyone know that this injustice is happening. And he makes a big deal about it. He makes a big stink about it. Yeah.
I feel like the tzacha is tefillah and tshuva, and it makes sense why he would put on tzacha. But if you're going to say that's more like trying to get everyone stirred up.
Right, but then that's where Pasuk Beis comes in and says that he comes to the Shaar HaMelech. And so then what is he doing by the Shaar HaMelech? So that's why I think that there's a dual purpose here. There's a zaka and a tefillah and an evil, and therefore he's tearing his clothing. But there's also something over here. You know, it's very hard not to like read at least this parak and many parakim in the Sefer and not to think about what's going on today. You know, just a few hours from here in a plane, what's going on in Russia and the protests. People don't know. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. In Russia, they have it's almost like China. They have control over the social media. People don't know what's going on. People don't know that they're carpet bombing Ukraine. Russians don't know that. Only like hackers that are able to get around the internet. It's very so what Mordechai is doing is he's standing up. He's standing up for what he believes in. He's standing up for this injustice. U'b'chol medina u'medina makom asher dvar ha'melech v'daso megia evel gadol la'yehudim v'tzom u'b'chi u'mispeid sak ve'efer yutzal rabim. So this pasuk is a little bit challenging according to the Malbim, right? It sounds like wherever the letter comes, there's a big evel for the Jews. How do they know? So the way that the Malbim would read this pasuk is that The evil only starts after Mordechai's protest becomes a public knowledge, right? He starts and he goes by the Shaar HaMelech, and Kanireh there are shluchim that are going throughout the country, and so they bring this letter. They bring this letter, they bring this news to the world. Vatavona na'aros Esther v'sarisa, v'yagidu lo v'tichalchel hamalka me'od. They come, these na'aros, these servants of Esther, and they come and they tell her what's going on outside. Vatichalchel hamalka, that word is the mefarshim trying to figure out what vatichalchel hamalka means. She was very scared. Okay, some explain that she actually started having menstrual bleeding because. And we know that this happens sometimes when women are under an immense amount of pressure. Their menstrual cycles can change, right? So it's a deep stress. She is scared for her life. She's scared for Mordechai, and she's scared for the Jewish people. Vatavona na'aros Esther v'sarisa v'yagidu lo v'tichalchel hamalka me'od v'tishlach begadim lahalbish es Mordechai u'lahasir sako me'alav v'lo kibel. Esther has no idea what's going on. All she knows is that Mordechai is making a big stink outside. He ripped his clothing. He doesn't look like a political figure should look. So once again, the begadim, the clothing is very important. She sends new clothing. She sends new clothing. But oh, Shalom Aleichem, welcome. But she does. He doesn't want the clothing. And if we'll talk about the clothing for a second, and then we'll go weiter, is that we've seen already in our learning of Sefer Yoshua and Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel, how many times has clothing been a change of the story? Okay, let's just think. Let's think of a few examples. Shaul with Shmuel, David with Shaul, Yosef with Potiphar, Yosef with his brothers. Clothing represents a change in plot. And there's clearly a change here. There's a change in the way that Mordechai is relating to this situation, and Esther also is relating to clothing in a different way, right? For the Persians, for Esther, you don't look mechubad; you have to look respectful. But Mordechai is saying it's not about the clothing. You understand? The clothing is a representation of what's going on, right? An avel, a mourner, rips his clothing because it represents that it's something deeper. There's even a halacha that we know. that that many people, you know, it used to be that we people used to have like one or two begadim. So when you would be in avelus, ripping your clothing would be significant. The Gemara has a whole back and forth about, can you restitch the shirt that you tore, or can you partially restitch? Clothing has significance in halacha, has significance clearly in the Tanakh as well. But Mordechai doesn't want to take these clothing from Esther. Pasuk Hey, Vatikra Esther lahatach misarisei hamelech asher ha'amid lefanea vatitzaveu al Mordechai ladas mazeh ve'al mazeh. Clearly Esther has no idea what's going on. Okay, and this really just plays into the way that Achashverosh has his entire palace sort of set up, is that anyone inside sort of knows what they know and they don't know what they don't know, and the people on the outside don't really know. It's this big secret. Esther, the queen, has no idea what the Gzeira is. So she says, she sends Hatach, and we're going to speak about him in a second. Who is this Hatach? But she sends this messenger to Mordechai to find out what's going on. So Hatach goes. Chazal say that Hatach is Daniel. Vayage lo Mordechai. How do you say that he's also Daniel and also Memuchan is also Daniel? Don't ask me that question. You can ask Chazal that question. Okay. Obviously, the Yishuv Advarim is that those are midrashim that are soter one another, and that's okay. Meaning like, some thought this way and some thought this way. Okay? Huh?
Conservation of biblical characters.
Right, conservation of biblical characters. Beautiful. That Hatach is also Daniel and Memuchan is. Why would you say that? That's craziness.
Is Daniel even Daniel?
Are you even. Max, are you even Max? Okay. So let's see. Pasuk Zion. Vayage lo Mordechai es kol asher karo. He tells over the whole story. And now this isn't the first time he's telling over the story. He's been screaming the story on a microphone right outside the king's palace. And he says everything that happened, Ves Parshas HaKesef, Asher Amar Haman Lishkol al Ginzei HaMelech BaYehudim LaAbdam, the whole story. How does he know all the Pratim? How does he know all the Pratim? That's why a lot of the Mefarshim suggest that there's clearly an aspect of Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh which is going on over here. How does he know that there was a back and forth about how much money, or maybe Haman made a big deal about it, that Becholzos, I offered this money, it came back to me. One way or another, he tells in this story, go back to Esther. Vespatshegen ksav hadas asher nitan b'shushan lahashmidan nasan lo laharosas Esther lagid la. He gives him the open letter. Remember, the Malbim said the second letter. He rips open the second letter. And he says, "Go and show this to Esther. Show it to her. She doesn't believe. Show it to her." Ulitzavos aleha lavo el hamelech lischanin lo v'lavakish milfanav alama. This is the change. This is the change. Mordechai, when it says that Mordechai yada. Right. What does it say in Pasuk Aleph? Umordechai yada es kol asher nasa. Doesn't only mean that he knows what happened before, what happened in the Metzias, is that he's starting to understand es kol asher nasa. Why was Esther taken? Like, what's the hashgacha pratis here? What is going on? Es kol asher nasa. He recognizes, he realizes what happens. Right? So he says, that's why you're here. That's why you're here. Go and beg from the king to change this decree. So Hatach once again comes and gives Esther this message. Hatach is obviously, and this is where things become a little bit complex, is that Mordechai and Esther clearly aren't. Esther is not going to come outside of the Shar HaMelech, either one because she doesn't want to, and she doesn't want to show that she has this relationship with Mordechai, and that's why they keep on using these in-between people, right? This Hatach. And also, Mordechai is the guy that Haman is looking out for. So as soon as Mordechai is speaking to Esther in a galui way, so Haman's gonna start thinking that there's something wrong. So Hatach is used. So Esther sends it back. Don't you know? Everyone knows. The king, if you go into the king without asking, he's going to kill you. Now, what kind of rule is that, Chevra? What kind of rule is that? We don't find that amongst any of the Persian kings in our history books. None of them. So as I said, it plays into this theme that Ahasuerus is so paranoid for his life after Bigthan and Seresh. And that's why he appoints Haman to be his viceroy, to be his demi-king. That's why he has everyone bowing down to him. He creates this system in which he could totally create a security bubble. Right? Once again, I haven't been able to get off my phone with this Russia and Ukraine thing. Vladimir Putin, do you know that in order to meet with him, even within his room, you have to be 40 feet away from him? 40 corona. Feet away because of corona and all. Only crazy people have such rules. Right? It's like the Kodesh Kadashim. I think that's the Megillah obviously is hinting to that, is that the Cheder HaPnimi of Ahasuerus, as we were hinting in the beginning of the Megillah, is obviously a connection to the Kodesh Kadashim. Right? And Lahavdil, the Kodesh Kadashim, and this room. Don't you know that anyone... So what am I doing? This is a suicide mission, she essentially says. So the end of that sentence is could be understood in two very different ways. I haven't been called for 30 days. So some suggest that what does that mean? I haven't been called to the king for 30 days, which means that I'm going to be called any single day now. So why put myself at risk of getting killed if it's possible that within the next few days, meaning we have 11 months. So why the pressure? Why the need for the haste here? The other way of saying it is Esther is saying that I haven't been called to the king for 30 days. That means that maybe he's done with me, right? Remember, he brought all of those Naros, Shanis, he brings all of these other women. Maybe he's gotten bored of me, right? And therefore, it's not gonna, and Chevra, let's listen. It's a suicide mission, but even if he lets me live, there's no way he's going to grant me a request. The fact that he's going to let me live, that's my request. So it doesn't make any sense. Now, if we say, if we say that Esther and Mordechai, they obviously have some sort of very, very deep relationship, whether it's a relationship of an uncle and a niece, or if it has a marriage sort of relationship, but their relationship is on ice right now, and you could feel the tension between Vayagidu leMordechai es divrei Esther. Now take a look at what Mordechai says. Vayomer Mordechai lahashiv el Esther, al tidami benafsheich limaleit beis hamelach mikol hayudim. Don't think that you could just hide away from all the other Jews and remove yourself from this responsibility. Kim hacharish tacharishi be'ez hazos, because if you're quiet, im hacharish tacharishi be'ez hazos, revach v'atzol yamod liyudim makom acher. There is going to be Am Yisrael lo yishaker, right? Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. This is going to happen. Am Yisrael is going to be saved one way or another. Ve'atu beisavich tovedu. And if you do not stand up, then you and your father's home will be lost forever. Umiyodeya im la'es kazos higas l'malchus. And maybe, says Mordechai, maybe this is the whole reason that you came to the Malchus. Maybe this is the whole reason. And this is where this unbelievable insight, which I'm just going to read it because it's absolutely fantastic. This mamish Talmida Chachama, so fascinating, this insight. She points out that there's a midrash that says that there's a background to Esther, who her parents are. We didn't speak about this so much, but there's a background and it's so important. Right? One of the midrashim suggests in Esther Rabbah that her father died when her mother was pregnant, and Esther, when she was being born, her mother died at birth. Okay? So why did Chazal say that? You know, already she had a familial issue. What's the insight that they're trying to say? What's the insight that they're trying to say? So take a look at what she said. I'm just gonna read it. This makes her tragic situation that much more calamitous. Esther, born into grave loss, a loss that regarding her mother was on Esther's account. One wonders why a midrash would add torment to her already precarious family situation unless it was to understand what eventually moved her to throw her lot in with the Jews, even at the risk of her life. In the midrashic mindset, perhaps she has been weighed down by guilt, responsibility, and this is the kicker, and a desire to do something worthwhile and redemptive with her life to justify her existence. You understand what she's saying is that when a person loses a parent or two parents, she asks herself, I was born, I had a purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me into this world for some sort of reason. I don't even have my parents anymore. Because of me, my mother's dead. You understand? Because of me. So therefore, that it has to be that I have some sort of purpose. Right? So when Mordechai says, Im ha-charesh ta-charishi be'es ha-zos, what is he saying? He's saying, this is what you were born for. This is you. Vatomer Esther la-hashiv el Mordechai. She changes everything. She says, what? Don't you know? Suicide. Lech knos es kol ha-yehudim ha-nimtzayim b'shushan. V'tzumo alai v'al techlu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim. Laila v'yom for three days and night. Do not eat, fast, daven. Gam ani v'narosai atzumken. And me and my the women around me, were also going to fast. We're going to speak about that in a little bit. As the Gemara points out, until this point, she has been in a relationship which was forced upon her literally, and the Gemara describes her as being in a relationship which is one of karka olam. It's baal korcha. She doesn't want to be vatilakach Esther, but now what is she doing? What is she doing? Kasher avadati. I don't really have a choice. My life is on the line, but my life is on the line. My people are on the line. Kasher avadati. I'm going to go into... She knows what she's getting herself into. Because when she walks into that room, she knows that it's not going to end with just a request. The kasher avadati. Sher lo kedas doesn't only mean a sher lo kedas like the king's das. It means her own das. She knows that this is her rutzo now. She knows that this is her ratzon. V'yavor Mordechai v'yaske chol asher tzivsa love Esther. Now there's a few bigger questions, and we'll get to the questions right now. One of the questions is if Esther knows that she's essentially putting herself into a situation of an avera, how is she allowed to do that? Especially if maybe we're going to consider this gilui arayos, shouldn't she just give up her life? Pashtus. Either you could say she's not a Aishas Ish, that's the Pashas. So the Gemara is done in this question. And that's really not something that we're going to speak about. But over here, just yeah, you could feel the tension in the room. Imagine, they're not speaking to one another. They're not speaking to one another. This is all going through some intermediary, right? So some guy. Imagine how difficult this was for Mordechai and Esther. But this is the changing point. The clothing. Esther was sure that Mordechai has to change her clothes, and at the end, she's changing her own clothes. Right? And there's another question here that we have to deal with, which is, why does she need to fast? She needs to look her best. She needs to look her best. She's about to go to the king after 33 days of not being called. And now she's going to come in. So there's obviously an aspect of Hashgacha Pratis over here. And there's a whole discussion of when exactly does this happen. When are these 3 days? And Chazal suggests that these 3 days are during Pesach, Leil HaSeder. Leil HaSeder, they weren't Mekayim Leil HaSeder. They weren't Mekayim, possibly, the mitzvos of Doraisa, of Matzah and Maror. Right? Because they recognized that it was such an Eis Tzara. It was such an Eis Tzara. Yeah?
Why in the same pasuk, Mordechai says,
yeah.
Right? Maybe it will be from someone else, and then he says, "Maybe this is the reason why you were called to the Malchus."
Right. I think
it's not like a weird.
He's going back and forth, right? Let's read the pasuk again. He says, "V'ermordechai la'ashiv al Esther, al tidami b'nafsheich li'malit beis hamelch mikol ha'yudim." Don't think that this is your time to run away. Ki ma'charesh tacharishi be'is hazos, revach ba'atzal yamod liyudim makom acher. Right? There's going to be netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. And then he says, va'atu be'is avich toveidu. What is he saying there? He knows how sensitive this point is. He knows who are be'is avichas. He knows that what he's saying, and that's the piercing point, is he knows exactly how she was born. And he knows how important this Nikud. So he's playing the harp of her emotions, right? And then he says at the end, wow. So that was like a shtach. And then he says, maybe like saying like this is the whole point that you're here. That's a little bit more of like a keruv levavos.
Well, what is the netzach happening anyway have to do with her? Maybe it's her.
I think he's saying, meaning like it's going to happen one way or another. So the question is, do you want your life to be as Mrs. Brown wrote? Do you want your life to be meaningful? Do you want your life to be this one? All right, Bezrat Hashem, we'll pick this up on Thursday.